Chance of a thunderstorm later in the day, highs lower 80s. Saturday, sunny in the morning and partly sunny in the afternoon, highs lower 80s. Clouds and sunshine, lower 80s on Sunday. Steve Pelletieri Jr. reporting for WVOX Worldwide and WVIP HD.
Warning, warning, warning.
You're about to enter the free fun zone on the drive home.
It's just a lot of fun.
VOX.
We're back, Brand Talk, here on WVOX, TJ McCormick, John Tantillo, and we're on the second half of Brand Talk, and we have on the line someone that's going to give us his take on what went on in Wisconsin from a brand and marketing perspective. His name is Jamie Chandler. He is a political scientist and media commentator. You've seen him on WCBS, WABC, and he can tell you even more. He's a smart guy. He went to Harvard undergraduate, and he is presently pursuing his PhD in political science and teaches at Hunter College, a great brand, a great friend. Jamie Chandler, welcome to Brand Talk.
Thank you.
How you doing there, kiddo?
I'm great, thanks. Looking forward to talking to you all the stuff going on in politics.
Yeah. So what the heck happened? Who are the winners and losers in Wisconsin, do you think?
Well, definitely Scott Walker's the winner. The state Republican Party of Wisconsin really is the one that proved a lot. I think also from a super PAC standpoint, you know, the injection of a lot of fundraising demonstrates how much influence they have over the electoral process. I would not argue that this is a indication of what the national mood is or how this is going to help. This probably won't have much of an impact on Mitt Romney. I think the GOP will be able to spin it, give some traction on it for a couple days. But the thing to keep in mind is that state politics and national politics are two different beasts. Voters in state-level elections tend to be much more partisan, and the turnout also tends to be a little lower. So you can't use one state, which is a single case, for some kind of indication on the rest of the electorate.
I think you're right on that. I couldn't agree with you more. You know, I'm by the way, we have TJ McCormick, that's here. TJ, just feel free to, chime in anytime
sure.
you want.
Well, I think it speaks to an interest. Thank you, John. And welcome, sir. I think what happened in Wisconsin does at least speak to, what the rest of the country is starting to realize about when it comes to onerous public sector union contracts. Because Wisconsin is one thing. California is where I lived for 13 years and finally got out. That's another state. And you know, as California goes, so goes America in a lot of ways. And I think it's interesting, you know, if Wisconsin is willing to do what they did and back Walker for doing what he was elected to do, I think it might actually say something about the future of public sector unions in the country. Maybe not electoral politics, but maybe what states are willing to maybe take chances.
What about that? What about the union brand? Did you think that they lost, or do you think that this is just too limited an experience?
Well, I think the original drive for the election was definitely has to do with this fight over collective bargaining. But, you know, there's a bigger question here is that Scott Walker was elected 2 years ago with a fairly, you know, substantial amount of votes. And also, you know, his opponent's marketing message, his message was mixed. As far as, what this does say about collective bargaining, I mean, I think it's going to give, Ohio governor a little more confidence on what he's been doing.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that's absent from this national dialogue that, you know, is being kind of obstructed by these very polarized parties is that, you know, what is the proper balance of you know, the union's role in the economy today as well as regulation? I mean, we don't really seem to be getting this message, it's all or nothing. And, you know, there is still a role for both of those entities. You know, and unions also have to take a look at, you know, where do they fit in this new economy? And I think that these elections, as well as what's been going on in Congress, will compel them to start thinking about it. As far as their influence electorally in this coming election, unions are actually pulling a lot of their funds out of the Democratic Party. One of the problems with the convention is that the Democrats basically expected the unions to foot the bill, and they're not doing that because North Carolina is not a very union-friendly state.
Very interesting.
So even the closeness of the union to the constituency of the Democratic Party is, you know, somewhat in question right now.
That's a very, very good observation. That's it's Jamie Chandler, John Tantillo, TJ McCormick. It's Brand Talk 1460 on your AM dial. We love to hear from you. You might have a question to Jamie Chandler, a political science at Hunter College, 914-636-0110. Here, Jamie, I'm going to toss this at you. So, you know, I come from the marketing and branding side of the equation, and you had mentioned about money, and two things come to mind. In the early 80s, Governor Cuomo, Mario Cuomo, had a race with a fellow by the name of Lou Lehrman, who was a multi-millionaire and outspent Cuomo significantly.
I remember.
And Cuomo won. And the point I like to make here is that is this. If the dog doesn't like the dog food, you can have the best dog food, the best message, the best everything, but if they don't agree with you, attitude change, you know, with my research in psychology, attitude change is very, very hard to do. Not impossible, it's very, very hard to do. And I just don't know if the union's message was on the side of the angels. They may have thought it was on the side of the angels, but you brought up some very, very good points that today the world has changed, especially with an electorate whose own finances or his own personal job situation might be in jeopardy. This wasn't one to go crying and I'd like you to maybe respond to that, Jamie.
Well, let me just touch on TJ's TJ, right? TJ McCormick.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, point about what the public is thinking about unions. I mean, I think the thing to keep in mind is that the public really isn't very knowledgeable of what unions do. They shortcut to what their party is saying. So this is really, this whole union dialogue is really something taking place on the elite level of politics within the politicians.
Go ahead, sorry. Go ahead, Jamie. Okay, you're the guest. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Jamie.
Please.
You know, and the other thing about, you know, either party's plays with unions is that those plays are designed to appeal to certain special interests within their constituency. So in Wisconsin, obviously, union Scott Walker's friendliness to ending collective bargaining is very friendly to the manufacturing firms that help him out. Or President Obama, who makes these statements about teachers' unions when he gives a job speech, you know, that's meant to buy their favor. Those messages are not necessarily targeted to the public.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let me just run this by you. Do you think that the Obama brand is contradicting itself, or is going to have trouble in November for those people that thought he was of his brand was perceived one way, and now he's doing behaving in another? And I'm talking specifically on his more negative tone towards Romney. I mean, he was much more ideal. He was more of an idealistic brand. He was much more of a hope and change.
He was a healer, a unifier, hope and change.
Yeah. I ask, how do you feel about that, Jamie?
Well, I think this is the biggest challenge President Obama has in terms of his campaign, and it's kind of twofold. One, that there's a pervasive sense of uncertainty and distrust for the president's message because, you know, one of his biggest problems is he's always overset expectations of what he can do. He makes promises that he cannot deliver on. And the second thing is I think the public is thinking, well, you know, we went out, we bought a Cadillac, and we ended up getting a Ford Escort. And the second problem that's underlying the president's, you know, narrative is that the Democratic surrogates that he has going out for him are speaking contradictory to what that narrative is. You've got Bill Clinton, who's somewhat of a loose cannon. Cory Booker, you know, made some comments about Bain that didn't quite gel with what the president was saying. And, you know, from a marketing standpoint, this is what the Republicans do very well. They speak in a very homogenous way to the electorate. And the more the public hears that, the more the message is reinforced.
Yeah.
For a couple examples, if we think about, you know, the terminology of the death tax or the terminology of partial birth abortion, I mean, those were terms that were put out there by the Republicans, and then they were consistently mentioned in the press and so forth, and now they've been incorporated into the public's larger vernacular.
I couldn't agree with you more. I do think Republicans know how to market themselves better than Democrats, and that is from that's not from a partisan point of view. Yeah. That is from hopefully people will understand it's from a marketing point of view, and I'm glad you said that. Jamie, put on your forecast hat, fortune teller. Who's going to win? Is it going to be Obama or is it going to be...
How big does Romney win?
Who do you think wins?
Well, I'm going with the electoral vote forecast models. The national polls are, you know, kind of a weather vane, but,
you know,
presidential elections are really on a state level. So when we think about the electoral vote forecast model, right now Romney's behind between 80 and 100 electoral votes.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a very small number of swing states this year. There's only about 5 to 6. So I think it is going to be a nail biter. And there's, you know, there's some talk that it could be an electoral tie and the election could be kicked to the House of Representatives. I'm not going to call the election today. I think it's way too soon. I mean, it'd probably be in a better situation to do that in September.
I think in September we're going to have you back, Jamie. We're going to put that on.
It's all about Florida, Ohio. I mean, as it always is, but now more than ever. Florida, Ohio, it would be fascinating to see if Wisconsin's in play.
Yeah.
People are
Jamie, do you have a website that people can go to find out more about these very, very insightful opinions of yours?
Yeah, they can follow my press daily on jamiechandler.com, and they can also follow me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is jamie_Chandler.
Okay, and I'm going to put...
And I do about 3 to 4 interviews a day, so I'm always...
Well, that's great.
Going on.
And you know what you could do is if you go to the my Facebook Brand Talk group page, you can put all those links right on there, Jamie, and get that all that information right there. Listen, Jamie, thank you so much. It was great having you. Great insights, and thanks for coming to Brand Talk. You're the best.
Thank you. Thank you, John. Thank
okay.
You, have a good
bye
day.
Bye.
All the best.
Wow. What an insightful guy.
Yeah, you still need that.
I still need I'm sorry, the microphone. It's been a long day.
It's like you hung up the phone.
I thought I hung up. That's exactly right.
Isn't that
now
funny?
Cut that out.
That was funny.
You're unbelievable.
That was good
you're
stuff.
You're unbelievable.
I'm here for you. I'm here to help.
Yeah, I could tell. Yeah, you're from the government. I mean.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm from the government. And I'm here to help.
Yeah, okay. All right. It's time for Did You Know That? Folks, it's time for the perennial crowd favorite, Dr. John Tantillo's Did You Know That? Did You Know is where little-known facts are brought center stage for your delight, amazement, and dare I say, your continuing education. And now, Did You Know That?
This is Dr. John Tantillo asking, Did You Know That? I bet you've heard of an animal called the mule. But did you know that the best mule, the animal that set the standard for workhorses all over the world, was invented right here in America? The story begins in the early days of our country. A farmer had returned home from the Revolutionary War to find his farm had fallen into disrepair. He was a man of great energy, not to be defeated. He knew that he must find ways to get his farm back on track. Then one day, a gift arrived from the King of Spain, two donkeys. The farmer wondered what would happen if he would combine the haughtiness of the donkey with the speed and intelligence of a horse. So he experimented. Trial and error followed, but in the end, success. The animal he created was a breakthrough, not only for farming, but across many industries. His creation spread instantly like wildfire. Millions of American mules helped settle the West, build our cities, and unlock our country's wealth. And it all came about because a farmer in a newly independent country realized that there must be a better way. The farmer's name? George Washington. That's right. The father of our nation is also the father of the American mule. And now you can say, yes, I know that.
No way. No way.
Yeah. Are we back?
Oh, yeah, we're back.
Well, oh, I'm
now
sorry.
We know that.
Yes.
There is... no it? Way. Okay. There is absolutely no way that that George Washington?
Yeah.
Father of the American of the mule?
That's right.
You're kidding me.
Why would I kid you?
But how does that go by the wayside? How do we get this story of the cherry tree that is, you know, mythology, American mythology, it's up for debate, did he ever chop that and then tell the truth, when how is the mythological story the standard when the real story, I'm 43 years old. I'm up on my history. I'm a fan of American history. I love George Washington.
Well, you see,
you're making this stuff up, Tantillo.
I am not. Now, cut that out. Well, the idea here is that there's a difference between idea people,
right,
or people that are process people,
yeah,
and then outcome people. And
right,
it was very interesting because you and I were talking about this today.
Yeah.
You have an idea of a thing that we should in fact do.
Yeah.
But I said, I'm not, in the, I think it's a right, great idea,
yeah,
but I can't get to the details.
Right. You're like,
I got it. The outcome is wonderful. Right. I'll be there at the outcome. But to plan these yeah, things.
Your actual words were, I can do it, but I can't do it.
I can't do it. I just can't do it. I mean, we went to this conference today. And
right,
people would say, what you got to do is you got to sell advertise. You got to, you know.
Right.
I know.
The shtickies to the left of me.
Right.
The shtickies to the right of me. Exactly.
You got to, my brand right now,
yeah,
is to be the best broadcaster I can be.
Right.
My brand is to be the best writer,
yeah,
I can be. To be the best talker,
uh-huh,
I can be. The best motivator I can be.
Sure.
If I have to worry about all of these other things,
yeah,
one of those creative things are going to have to, are going to suffer. And that is mm-hmm, what I want to communicate
right,
to my listeners
right,
out there, that you gotta choose, and that's why you need a team of people that can help you to do that.
Absolutely.
And to help you in your brand. And
with
that's
your brand, which, and you know, to serve the needs. Hey, listen now, we got this, we understand that the fellas have something else queued up for us.
Okay. What guys, what do you got queued
what,
up
what
for?
What do you
us?
Got queued?
What do you got queued up for?
Feel free to introduce it if it needs introducing.
Do we need introductions, guys? This crew we have today.
The wheels are always turning.
I mean, they're really, really terrific. I've never... No, well...
Stand on a little blue...
Oh.
Go ahead.
Uh-oh.
You got something queued up here. Oh, my God.
To you.
almost there.
It's almost. What could this possibly be? Could this be?
You know, she's having her dance audition, and she's so nervous, and she's buffering.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, we've got a buffering issue. I know what. I think I know what they're doing back there.
$1,000.
Oh, here we. Oh my God.
They've got it online.
They got it online.
They found you online.
They
John.
Found me online.
Four.
Oh, okay.
And you know what?
Okay. What they're trying to do, folks. So, by the way, you're listening to Brand Talk on WVOX 1460 on your AM dial. It's Dr. John Tantillo, TJ McCormick. And what these great guys are doing is trying to get a segment of the match game where I make a fool of myself in front of millions of people. By the way, it was years till I was able to go to the old neighborhood in Ridgewood, Queens, because every genius in Ridgewood called me, "Ah, you choked, Tantillo. What could I?"
How much did you win?
$1,000.
Wow.
And you know, it was funny. And you know where I went the day, the night, you know, this taping all night long.
Right.
But what happened was we did the, we went to Lowry's.
Oh, Lowry's, the prime rib.
And La Cienega.
Right on La Cienega.
And
one of the few places worth my time in Los Angeles.
Yes, I love that place.
Yeah.
The only thing I don't like about it is party for four for McCormick, party for four, for 25.
You want to know something funny? Here's something funny. When my wife, Andy, was a recording artist for a while, she was a member of a girl group called I-5 back in the 2000s, early 2000s. Anyway, a sexy bunch of girls who could, like the Spice Girls. And my wife, while she was recording, while they were waiting for their record contract, she had a quick, as they say in baseball terminology, cup of coffee at Lowry's. Her friend was a full-fledged waitress. Andy would never be a waitress, but she was a hostess at Lowry's, the prime rib. And on New Year's Eve, they had her working on New Year's Eve, and she had an invitation to Carol Burnett's house for a New Year's Eve party, her and the girls.
Oh, my God.
So New Year's Eve, 8 o'clock on New Year's Eve, that's when Andy decides to quit. She tells them, "You know what? I really just can't stay. I have an invitation at Carol Burnett's house. I got to go." New Year's Eve, she gives them the heave-ho.
I don't think we can go there and again.
You know what? We went back there for dinner 100 times. They welcomed her with open arms. They totally understood.
Right.
Besides, you met my wife. She's a doll. Who can stay mad at her, right?
You're absolutely right. Brand Talk, Tantillo, McCormick, WVOX 1460 on your AM dial. Should I ask the $64,000 question? Are we up? Okay,
my heart breaks for these guys because you know what? I know what it's like to have a great idea and the computer just won't cooperate.
I completely get it.
I know they're frustrated as heck back there.
Well, we had it going, and I heard the clip, and it was a good clip, and we paused.
No, don't worry.
I know what it's like, though, guys. I know what it's like because I work my own board for my show, and when I have a big idea and it doesn't come through, it's frustrating.
Well, here's something I like to, you know, I miss this because, you know, in our shows now, it's chock full of interviews and interesting information.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's good radio.
And what happened a few weeks ago is that Tide had these Tide Pops, pods. Did you hear about this?
No.
Well, Tide, you know, you
detergent.
Put the Tide detergent by the company that I love. Procter and Gamble. I am pointing west as I speak.
Yes.
Anyway, to make a long story short, these pods look like candies. And what little kids were beginning to do is put these in their mouth and eat them.
Oh, boy.
But, you know, in typical Procter and Gamble, and this is why they are the best, and it was a day within like less than 24 hours, they solved the problem. They took all the pods off the shelves.
Right.
They made a statement, and I mean, they handled it.
Right.
And that's what, that's a great brand.
That's why they are.
And that's why they are the greatest.
Yeah.
And here's a tidbit that I learned. I was talking to another P&G professional, and you know, Procter & Gamble started as candle makers.
Mm-hmm.
And what they did is the way they made their money was in soap.
Yes.
And
yes,
what
yes.
happened was that, with the right. soap
mm-hmm.
is that one day some genius on the manufacturing side forgot to turn the machine off, and the soap kept churning and churning. And what happened is they got this product, the soap product, and it had an unusual characteristic.
Mm-hmm.
When they took it out and they put it in water,
yeah.
the soap would float.
Right.
Now,
it
remember.
It had air in it from the extra churning.
Exactly.
Right.
And what they did is they took lemons and they made lemonade out of it, because what happened is that was produced in the 19th century. And what happens in the 19th century? People take baths.
Right.
What happens to soap? Soap goes to the bottom.
Can't find it.
So what did they do? The soap that floats made it a great
right.
differentiating factor, and sure. that's it. We got the clip.
All right.
There it is. Match
Hands
game.
On a little blue dot there, John. Good luck to you. You ready, Ms. Brett?
Oh, I don't know.
Here it is. Blank alcohol.
$20,000 on the line.
Alcohol.
There's that guitar. I love that guitar.
No answers from the audience, please. You know, I appreciate your enthusiasm, but it may be a rotten answer that you're shouting up at him here and may mislead him. Brett's ready? Now, here it is. Tell us what answer you'd like to give us to match Brett, and if you give us the right answer, the one that's in
this is
that slot
pathetic.
In front of her podium there, you get $20,000.
Right. Wood. Alcohol.
Oh.
Wood alcohol.
What?
All right.
Oh.
He says wood alcohol will match you for $20,000.
Oh, never pay any attention to them. Rubbing.
Right. Yeah.
Oh.
Someone in the audience kept saying wood alcohol. You gave him a bad steer there. That's why I asked to kind of cool it there. Well, listen, you didn't get the $20,000, John, but you've got $1,000. And we congratulate you for that. And we thank you very much for being here on Match Game.
Oh, my God. That was unbelievable.
Did you just relive the pain?
I relived the pain. And you will not have to, because that's the end of our show.
Oh.
Another show.
Drinking alcohol now, baby. I'm going back. I'm drinking tonight over that.
I want to thank our great crew. And I just don't know what to say.
Home run. Home run by these guys.
Next week, 5 to 6, Thursdays, Brand
Who's
Talk.
Who's that in the booth? What's their names? Tell the world.
It is Nick and Chuck.
That's
Chuck
right.
and Nick. Thanks, Chuck and Nick.
You guys are
awesome.
See
you next week. Bye-bye.
The information you need all day long and the music of your life all night long. This is America's great community radio station.
It's a community station.
AM 1460 WVOX New Rochelle and WVOX Worldwide.
6 o'clock.
Fox News Radio, I'm Jane Metzler. More civilians slaughtered in Syria.
According to rebels...